Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Peter Paul Berzola. I wonder what happened to our theme here. I thought it was on. Since so many things are going on in Washington, this is appropriate. What the hell is it? But anyway, this is an important day in medicine. Today, we have in 1918, we had the first worldwide flu epidemic, or it was called influenza in those days. About 500,000 people died here in the States in 1918, and 20 million people worldwide. Also, today, I guess the guillotine was a little slow coming down there. Okay, a little problem with the technical. Sorry about that. Also today, the first women's medical college was set up, and this is important. A lot of women are going into the medical field, and these younger women doctors, nurses, and nurse practice practitioners, nobody knows what their fate will be, their career fate will be, in this Pelosi care. And I understand that the latest thing that this politician has said, oh, we have to pass the bill and you'll find out what's in it. Sounds like Hitler and other totalitarian-minded people. Also today, in 1955, the discoverer of penicillin died, Sir Alexander Fleming, the British famous doctor and scientist. Interesting birthdays today. I'm surprised Fox didn't mention it. At least maybe they'll mention it later today on TV. Today is the birthday of Rupert Murdoch, who started his career. He was born in Australia and then moved to England. He's probably the world's biggest media magnate. Fox TV, whether you like it or not, if these statistics are accurate, they're the largest. They have the biggest audience, and they've surpassed like MSNBC, which is becoming increasingly Lavender Left. It's really unfortunate, and people do not believe these talking heads on a lot of these TV news or propaganda programs. But hopefully that will change, and we're seeing the media upheaval already in the print journalism or print media, because it's increasingly not journalists, it's political propaganda. With the internet, web, DVDs, that has all changed, and iPods, and even this type of programming around the world, you can circumvent the censorship, the lies, the distortions, and omissions. Other interesting things today that occurred, 1977, the Polish Jewish, I don't know if he practices, Roman Polanski raped this 13-year-old girl after drugging her, and then he fled to France, and now he's in, I guess, under house arrest or detainment in Switzerland. I don't know what the situation is, but there are people who feel that he should pay for his crime, taking advantage of, this is outrageous pedophilia, 13-year-old girl. Usually we hear about the boys, but this one unfortunately involved that woman. She's a young woman now. And then, let's see here. Excuse me. The Boulder Dam was started today, one of the biggest programs in American history. And also on this date, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers was founded, and they do these major projects, dams, reclamation, and all that. They're sometimes controversial. There is a connection of the U.S. Corps of Engineers to, of course, 9/11. They were there, but one of the jurors in the Stephen Nery kangaroo court case here in San Francisco was employed by the U.S. Corps of Engineers. I don't know if he's still there. This character owed quite a bit of child support in another county, and we discovered that. I don't know if they're going to go after him or what, or if he's paid up, but we'll get into that later. This week marks the debut, which should start tomorrow or the next day, Saturday, of what's really going on in San Francisco, which has more 501c3 nonprofits or non-taxpaying profits in the per capita in the United States. And at least 10 of them are bankrupt, including a lot of these phony AIDS propaganda projects that end up being buildings who honor male prostitutes, pedophiles, and the like. And they're seeking bailouts, and there's no money. And, of course, San Francisco, now all of its karma has caught up with them of mismanagement, public corruption, and we'll get into that. These are revenue sources that may be overlooked by cities, counties, and states across the country, and even the federal government. And there is a procedure called QUETAM, and we'll get into that a little later. Today also, George Romney, the late father of Mitt Romney, George Romney was governor of Michigan. He was a successful auto magnate, the famous Nash Rambler cars he built, or he was president of that corporation. And those of you who remember the old refrigerators, Kelvinator, Kelvin. He ran for president and later got shot down when he went to Vietnam and said he was brainwashed. So that killed his presidential aspirations. Now the son is picked up where the father was dropped off. And today in 1985, Gorbachev succeeded Clement Kuryenko as the first man in Russia, and had an interesting interview with the Prime Minister of New Zealand, and we'll probably play that. I have to transfer the tape to disc. And then in 2001, there was that foot and mouth epidemic that caused major disruption in the British economy. Over 100,000 animals had to be killed. Of course, some people say that the foot and mouth disease spread over here to our politicians like Pelosi and Harry Reid and some of these other clowns who were in Washington. Let's see, what else today happened? Oh, yes, in 1812, Prussia granted citizenship to the Jews who lived there, German Jews. And those of you who are unfamiliar with Jewish history and culture, or what is called in the East our crowd, German Jews and Austrian Jews are on the Ashkenazi, are on the upper rung of prestige, and the lower rung is the Sephardic, the Spanish, the Moroccans, the Turkish Jews. I mean, everybody's got this. The Irish look down on other Irish, the English look down on the Scots, and everybody plays these games, and the Mexicans look down on the Puerto Ricans. Also today, the Prussian Jews are very important because that's where the Rothschild family originated in the 17th century, and they went out. Meyer Rothschild sent his sons, I think he had five of them, to various countries to set up the famous or infamous Rothschild banks. They were in France, and also Baron de Rothschild has a famous winery, Mouton Cadet, he produces. And during World War II, even though he was Jewish, he stayed in France, and he was interned by the Nazis. They didn't kill him, maybe because he had too much of their money hidden away. We don't know. Then there's the Bank of the Rothschild Bank, and the Banque Nationale Paris is the bank, the Rothschild Bank in Paris, and then we have it in England. We have the connections here in the United States and around the world. Let's see, what else happened today? This is the birthday, we mentioned Rupert Murdoch. And William Howard Taft was buried in Arlington National Cemetery. He's the first president to be buried there. I think the others are buried elsewhere. FDR is buried in Hyde Park in New York. And I think Kennedy, Truman's, and Hoover is buried in Iowa. If you drive on route, I think it's 90 or 94, his library, presidential library, is set back on an open field away from the highway. And it's very beautiful to look at. Unfortunately, I didn't have time to stop in and pay my respects when I was traveling. And also Harry Truman, I think, is in Independence, Missouri. And then Kennedy, I think, is the only one who is buried in Arlington. And let's see, in 1942, General MacArthur left Corregidor in Bataan. The Japanese, it was pretty obvious that they were going to win those battles. And, of course, the famous lawyer Raul Vicente Almason, whose great-uncle, was Benito Juarez, the first democratically elected president of Mexico and the one who kicked the Archduke Carlotta and her consort. He said himself, Maximiliano. Famous movie also with Betty Davis and Brian Ahern. It's called Juarez, and I recommend that you see it. It's an interesting history of Mexico. And the Juarez was played, the role was played by Paul Muni, who was from the Jewish theater in New York, and he is the uncle of the conductor of the San Francisco Symphony, Michael Tilson Thomas. The family's name was Tomaszewski, and they were from Russia. And his mother was Bessie. And, of course, Tilson Thomas just got a Grammy Award for his latest performance of the Mahler 8 Symphony. A lot of people are getting Mahlered out. And, of course, he's very big in gay circles, no pun intended there. And let's see, what else today? Oh, yes, we had the death of some interesting deaths. Oscar Mayer, the guy who was the Bavarian meatpacker who came to the Midwest. There were five big meatpackers around the turn of the century. There was Gustavus Swift, Philip Armour, Oscar Mayer, and then there was the Cudahy, which is still in Wisconsin, I think, and there was one other, you know, if I've forgotten. And I once went through the Oscar Mayer plant in Chicago. It was a student project, and when I saw how hot dogs were made, I haven't touched one since. And, of course, Otto von Bismarck, probably the greatest, great and evil man, as one of his biographers calls him, always said, if people knew how political decisions and sausages were made, they wouldn't sleep nights. And it's so true. And then in 1971, Philip T. Farnsworth, who was the inventor of the TV, he was a San Franciscan, he died. And very few people, unless you're in media, know who he was. But if you're looking at the tube, think of Philo. And then in 1989, John J. McCloy, who was he died. He was the High Commissioner in Germany, set there by Harry Truman. And he, I don't know if you could use this word, set up the new Germany. I hate to use those phrases, but I can't think of anything else. And a lot of the Nazi, the German cartels remained in place because we had this fear of the Russians. And, of course, some people thought that was irrational. If you listen to Tom Hanks, you think that we're the evil empire. But that's what happened. Germany was to become a bulwark against Stalin and on the other side of the Iron Curtain. And so he was quite famous, and there was a lot of, I don't know what his relationship was with George Patton or if they even met, but as you know, Patton got into trouble because in the movie, Patton is very accurate. He got into trouble when people were complaining he was hiring Nazis to run the public works. He had no trained people. And he says, well, if we don't hire them, if we don't use them, how are we going to get the services, electricity, water, sewage? Incidentally, I have an interview with a veterinarian who served in, I think, Patton's army, and it's quite interesting what the veterinarians do in the military. Very few people know that. And now, there are a lot of questions. Those of you who drive, I don't know if you are aware, a lot of people are complaining around the country and even in Canada, from Montreal to San Francisco, people are complaining about the epidemic of reckless drivers. Yet we don't see, if you drive the highways, because of cash-strapped cities, counties, and states, you don't see highway patrol or state troopers as much. At least we haven't seen them in California. And we used to joke about Broderick Crawford's highway program on black and white TV, and then Chips with Eric Estrada. But these guys used to patrol the highways and try to keep them safe from speeding and reckless drivers. And, of course, what people don't realize, if you're a victim of a reckless driver and there's physical injury and, of course, damage to your car, your insurance rates go up. You know, I mean, everybody's insurance rates go up to pay off the damages. And if we were to curb these reckless drivers, here's a proposal that we've been thinking about as a public policy issue and an insurance issue, that maybe the legislature should start raising the fines and pegging them on the value of the vehicle. If you're reckless driving in a BMW, maybe you ought to pay a $1,000 fine. And if you're in an accident, double. This will curb some of these excesses. It's just unbelievable what's going on. It's chaos and mayhem on the motorways. And now another thing that people are not aware of are these bogus 501c3 so-called nonprofit organizations. A lot of them, they rip off their employees' deductions. They take the deductions, and we documented this, take the deductions out of their paychecks and are supposed to remit to Social Security, to unemployment, to disability, and all that. And they don't do that, and so, of course, liens are filed against the nonprofit. And when employees who are either sick or need unemployment insurance or whatever go to make their claim, they find that the premiums haven't been paid. And so these organizations may become more and more political. You've seen what's happened with Acorn. That's not an isolated incident of a corrupt so-called community organization. And I've had my own experience with them. But what happens is they make political campaign contributions to the legislators and the mayors and governors who funnel federal funds to their organizations. And so then they run these bogus voter registration drives, registering people who are not eligible to be registered, illegal aliens, people who are dead, in some cases dogs. And then, of course, these people in these votes and absentee votes even have people who are dead that they've registered, and they rise from the dead in voting. We've documented this on our Californians Against Voter Fraud page. Go to Amicus Veritas, AmicusVeritas.org. We will update that blog and that web page. And also go to our YouTube sites. We'll be putting some more stuff up there. We've got about 1,000 video verites that we have done, and they just have to be edited down. And so that is YouTube and AmicusVeritas. Go to that, and then you'll see that Toyota, which we happen with the new Shadow happened to catch, and fortunately had the cameras with us, and he took the photos of this new Toyota. We still haven't got the information on what exactly happened, but it was when the new Shadow saw it, it was on its roof. And also, there's a thing in every state, I believe, certainly in California, has a thing called whistleblower statutes and legislation for people and employees and whatever, the public, if they discover fraud in state or federal programs, they can file a claim. There's a specific procedure for it, and it is the only, for the federal government, it's called QUITAM, Q-U-I-T-A-M. It's the only lawsuit that requires, is mandated, and there's one case on it, U.S. v. Onan, and I'll put that up because people have asked me about it, which requires a licensed attorney and hopefully a competent and honest and ethical one. But you cannot do a pro se or a pauperous lawsuit on that, because the suits can be complicated. But there's a specific procedure, and if you prevail, you can get as much as 25% to 50%, depending on a factor, but I think the basis is 25%, and either the U.S. attorney in the district takes over the case, and you are a party to the case, or they let you, or the government decides and lets you, your attorney, and you, of course you're on the lawsuit, file the suit in federal court and go after these people who ripped off federal programs. The programs we've seen that have been ripped off primarily deal with these affordable housing. We had dead people getting homeless assistance, and we've documented that. In fact, one dead person was the former director, or the late director, of HUD Region 9 here in San Francisco. This guy died many years ago, and suddenly he's in his name, checks are being issued to this bogus homeless hotel. We call it the Sweetheart Hotel. But these are things that a lot of people should prevail on the legislatures to start using the existing legislation to try to recover the public funds that have been ripped off, misappropriated, and not accounted for. And there's a lot of money out there. The other thing that people should start asking questions about are these municipal bonds. Some of these corporations, these municipal bond issuers, have also ripped off counties and states on these bonds. And this is another area. And that is a more arcane area, the municipal bonds. It can be complicated. But there are things like bonds have been issued for stadiums and all that. None of these things pay. Incidentally, one of the reasons Greece has got this major financial problem is They thought that by hosting the Olympics and building all of this new infrastructure and the stadium, that they were going to clean up afterwards and be be fat, happy, and rich. None of these Olympic building programs pay off. Montreal took them 25 years to pay theirs off. Greece, that's one of the things that have bankrupted that country. Vancouver, British Columbia, even though it's one of the wealthiest provinces in Ontario, in Canada, excuse me, we'll see what the bottom line when they do the final accounting, whether how much that cost that province and that city of Vancouver. There is a Vancouver, Washington, but it's not as big, and it's right across the border, a little town. The other thing that people need to realize that, these things can be complicated, but there are lawyers out there who specialize this, and with a lot of lawyers looking for business, that they may be willing to take your case if you and document it well. We'll put up a lot of information because we were involved in a couple of these cases when I worked as a program analyst for one of the federal agencies. So, it's your money, as several of the, I think it's that woman on CNBC, she runs a great, Susie Orman, I think, and a couple other people, David Horowitz, the lawyer and consumer advocate, not the David Horowitz, who's the former leftist who political pundit, but it's your money, you paid for it. Paid for these programs, and when you need them, they were supposed to be in place, but a lot of them are bankrupt, and we have at least, as I said, 10 organizations here in San Francisco who have applied for funding to bail them out. They're bankrupt, and of course, the people that operated them mismanaged, misappropriated, in fact, there's a major theft, and of course, another organization, and I believe, and other people have come to this conclusion, that the State Bar Association, which is supposed to be a quasi-nonprofit, a quasi-government, or it's very hard to decipher what their actual status is. But anyway, every lawyer who passes the bar has to be a member here in the state of California. They pay, I think it's $500 a year. I'll get this figure exact. I'll check again. Membership fees to the California State Bar. Well, it turns out, and this was not publicized, that not only do they have a lobbyist up in who goes to Sacramento and was paid nearly $500,000 a year, we don't know what he does or who he does or if he's bribing legislators, we never know. What did happen, what has happened, is that one of the operatives in the California State Bar ripped off over $500,000. And lawyers who found out about it, decent lawyers, were very angry and wanted the governor to deny funding to them. So it's one of the problems. And, of course, those of you who had dealings with crooked lawyers or incompetent lawyers realize that this is a occupation that has gotten out of control and needs to be reined in. And all you got to do is look at people like John Edwards, Willie Brown, Dodd, Chris Dodd, the senator, you've got Harry Reid, you've got Barney Frank. Most of the corruption in Congress and most of the people in Congress, I think over a third of them have law backgrounds of one sort or another, or are lawyers. Like the latest scandal is that guy Delahunt from Massachusetts, who was the DA there, our state's attorney, who let this bishop woman gave her a pass when she killed her brother and then tried to intimidate someone and steal their car. So now he is retiring. He's not going to run, thank God. What's another interesting fact is the majority, guess who? What state provides the majority of Catholics to Congress? You'd be surprised. It isn't Illinois. It isn't California. It's Massachusetts. And most of these guys have law backgrounds. Barney Frank, Delahunt, who's the guy who started this fuss against Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Incidentally, if you look at the people who are opposed to Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and look at some of the people who are behind them, and know in more ways than one, some of these politicians are involved with male prostitutes, we can document, that we have documented that. They've gotten political campaigns from pornographers, people who are involved with NAMBLA, like Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein. A boxer's an idiot, and, you know, hopefully we'll get rid of her. She should have never, she barely won the first time when she ran for U.S. Senate, and she had no competence for that position. It came from New York, and another one of those New Yorkers who came here with, who were going to clean up California. Let's see, who else can I trash? So anyway, we hope that you will tune in Tuesday. And next week we're going to have a salute to the Irish. It's entitled "Some of the Things You Didn't Know About the Irish and Some of the Things You Don't Want to Know." And some of it is tongue in cheek. There will be rare music. I will see if I can get. We're trying to find those excerpts from speeches from famous Irishmen. And of course, a lot of the writers, we jokingly say, kiss the Blarney Stone, and one guy says, no, I own it. So I said, we'll have to repossess it. But anyway, Patrick Butler is slated for that salute to the Irish. He's half Irish ethnic himself, and he's also distantly related to Chertel, relative of the Romanovs. Interesting combination. But there's a lot of fascinating things about the Irish and their contribution to the world, whether it's the clergy, it's culture, military, music, that sort of thing, and of course, gangsters. There's interesting things about the Bugs Moran and some of the Irish who were involved in not obeying the laws and prohibition, and they were hustling beer. Some of it was bad beer, and it wasn't Jimmy Cagney in the movies, but the school that I went to, in fact, Patrick was ahead of me several years. The Chicago mob used to brew their hooch out there, and there was many a bad batch was made and dumped into the river. And in those days, they should have been cited for pollution, but they weren't. And of course, none of them survived. Even Bugs Moran died in prison. But it's quite fascinating. And of course, where the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, which was a lot of the Chicago major mobsters or footmen, were brutally murdered, is now believed to be an affordable housing project. It's quite interesting. And of course, we know that somebody in British Columbia wanted the bricks, and he was going to reconstruct the wall where these Irish mobsters were gunned down, and put a mark where they stood and where they were shot. So much for morbidity. But if you're Canadian, you're either come down here to become an actor, or you got to think of something. That's tongue in joke. But anyway, we will be bringing those that information and a lot of fun things about the Irish next week. It'll be on Thursday because he can't make it on Wednesday. We're going to do a special program. And, of course, I jokingly said that there'll still be some Irish who are celebrating, and the rest of us will be commiserating, so we'll do it on March 18th. And Tuesday we should have something. So we're going to close out now. I've still got this awful, I don't know what it is, whatever it is. We haven't been able to find out what it is. But anyway, let's give a little salute to the Irish. This is the march, and it's in the public domain, that's used by the Army, Gary Owen. And those of you who saw the film They Died in Their Boots about Custer, this was the march that he supposedly used, and it dates back to the 18th century. And it's still quite popular in the military band, people who like military band music. We've got others from our archives and one of them worked at KLW and Western Public Radio. So we're archiving a lot of this stuff. And we're about to cut off the IRAs and cut off their green beer. So, see you next week.